Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, the 11th of February. This is Viewpoint. Talk Radio is currently the first program with a panel of invited guests where we will be discussing the issues of the day. On today's show, with you for the next 2 hours, we're going to be discussing quite a few bits and pieces that have been crossing our radar in the past week, including the situation in Gaza as it develops. What a week that has been, along with the announcement overnight that Hamas would not be releasing any more, has postponed the release of hostages. I'm asking on the Facebook poll, get a Talk Radio official, you can have your vote. Do we think that this deterioration in the situation will we see Gaza, the violence return to Gaza? What do you think the role that President Trump has played in this with his interesting, particular and peculiar idea that Gaza could become the Riviera of the Levant? Let me know on that one. Also looking at the... there's some more populism coming our way after a large rally being held at the weekend in Madrid. Viktor Orban was in town in Madrid. And we've got the elections in Germany, end of this week, start beginning of next week. The ADF seem to be looking to make substantial gains. Have politicians misjudged the mood of the people, the will of the people, if you will? The Labour Party, of course, put out a interesting video yesterday showing they're tough on migration with the news that reform seemed to be their major threat. The German ruling party at the moment has also said that they're looking at they don't think migration is a pressing issue amongst its citizens. They may well be proven wrong. Plus, anything else that is crossing your own particular viewpoint. If you want to have a rant, have a rave, or just throw something into the mezcla. That's what we're going to be doing today. And those numbers, whilst you think about it, are the following.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And always, Viewpoint is interactive. It would be lovely to have you with us. Who is on death row this morning? Well, strange you should mention it, but back from the dead and better than ever is Andres Gallardo. Andres, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
You're looking healthy after your recent health issue, yeah, should we say.
Yeah, health scare, but yeah, I'm doing well, so thank you for asking. I know the interest is genuine, Giles.
Yeah. Do you wish to share with...
No.
No, fine, okay, well...
But it's funny, I was listening to a different radio program and
how dare you?
And they called, instead of the panel of guests, as you call it, for this program, they called it the table of analysis.
The table of analyses.
Analysis. Yes.
Okay.
So I'd like to be part of the table of analysis for today.
Like a menu de discussion. It's like, you know, it's like I'd like to have the table of analysis, please. Claudio De La Torre is also going to be joining us. He's on his way, probably fighting his way manfully through traffic as we speak. So we wait for Claudio. Knowing Claudio, he'll probably join us around just after 11 o'clock. So let's have a look at some of the. What's making the front pages? The Prime Minister backs the pub campaign and Farage deal for the birds are the main headlines. Lots of pictures of the King as well standing with Angela Rayner. But today's main story, several front pages carry images of King Charles, the Prime Minister and Angela Rayner during a visit to Cornwall, while separately featuring stories highlighting concern about Donald Trump's new tariffs on steel. UK fears steel industry faces a fatal blow is the headline in the I newspaper, as the trade union community says the levy would be hugely damaging and also threaten jobs. Britain is not expected to join the EU in responding with retaliatory tariffs. That's according to the Times. Meanwhile, the Daily Telegraph says it understands Sir Keir Starmer could visit President Trump as soon as next week. Meanwhile, the front of Tuesday's Express pictures two farmers with their young sons at yesterday's protest in London against the government's changes to inheritance tax. Sir Keir Starmer has backed the Daily Mirror's campaign to save Britain's pubs from closure, according to the paper. In other news, The Guardian leads with MPs having to scrap the requirement for a high court judge to decide on assisted dying cases amid growing concerns over the legislation, with an expert panel to scrutinise decisions instead. And finally, Labour has now stumbled into a fresh wokery row because Andrew Gwynne's replacement as Health Minister, Ashley Dalton, thinks that people can self-identify as a llama. So those front pages from the top today, don't look at me like that, those front pages today then, from the top. Daily Telegraph, Farage deal is for the birds, says Badenoch. A Tory leader dismisses election threat from reform, saying any pact would put off voters. And a photograph of the King and Angela Rayner. Picture of those two on front of the Times as well. She's wearing some very funky boots, is Angela. Anyway, the Times. Starmer set to sidestep EU's tariff war with US. They've also got Gen Z aren't proud of Britain and wouldn't fight to save it. Okay. Meanwhile, The Guardian, those two again. Court sign off in assisted dying bill to be scrapped, and they have stately homes. Starmer and Rayner's trip with kings raises eyebrows. The Sun leads with that's woolly thinking. Minister, it's okay to identify as a llama. Daily Mirror, Prime Minister backs Mirror campaign. Keir, we must save pubs. Local loving Labour leaders support as we demand a boozer lifeline. The Metro, every woman's changing room nightmare. This is an interview with Solicitor Isa Bulldott, who tells a paper about her anger and sadness that police are not prosecuting a man who spied on her through changing room vents in Putney. My anger at let off for pool perv. Meanwhile, the UK fears steel industry faces a fatal blow. The Daily Express, stop the tax so I can be a farmer like my mummy and daddy, is the front of the Express because of the protests in London yesterday. And finally today, the Star, Daily Star, we're back onto AI again. Daily Star returns to what it calls psycho scumbag chatbots, saying expert has told the paper they are very likely to wipe out entire populations. So AI boff says temperamental metal Mickeys are highly likely to wipe us out very soon, which is nice. Revenge of the psycho scumbag chatbots. And those, for better or worse, are your headlines on this Tuesday, the 11th of February.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And in poll today, we are asking, with Hamas stating it's postponed the release of hostages, do you think the situation will deteriorate into violence again? At the moment, 100% of you are saying yes. You've got the options, yes, 100%, yes, wow. Yes, no, or not sure. So this is, of course, the ongoing situation in Gaza. Is psycho chatbots sounds very much like viewpoint callers. Thank you very much. I would dream for psycho chatbots. Trust me. The situation in Hamas. It's been heartening. It's been both heartening and heartbreaking in equal measure to see the release of the hostages on both sides in Gaza, of course. Let's not forget that Palestinians, some of them who've been held for over 10 years, are also being released in this hostage deal. But the female IDF soldiers who were released, of course, is great to see. Then we saw the mayhem when some of the Thai hostages were released, with scenes that were just appalling, you know, people running around with guns and being the hostages being jostled, etc. And then we saw, and this is perhaps the saddest, is the the gaunt figure, which shocked a lot of people, the gaunt figures who were released last week, including one of them who didn't, who was unaware that his wife and children had been killed on the attacks on the 7th. And now Hamas has said we're postponing those releases, presumably off the back of what has been an interesting situation developing. And I've got, you know, Trump has said the Gaza ceasefire should be cancelled until all Israeli hostages are freed. President Donald Trump has said if Hamas does not release all remaining hostages by midday on Saturday, Israel should cancel the ceasefire and let, quote-unquote, let hell break out. Is this the sort of rhetoric we need when there are still, 74 hostages still held in by Hamas?
Giles, this ceasefire was always fragile from the very minute it started. We all knew that. Anything could turn it. The reality is the images that we have seen of the release of the Israelis held hostage by Hamas. They were chaotic. The display of guns there may make you think that that ceasefire is very fragile, just by what you see on the images on TV. The intention of those images were to show Hamas in a position of strength, which doesn't fare well to what will come in the future in terms of lasting peace. These guys don't want a lasting peace. They don't. They have no place in a lasting peace. A terrorist group like Hamas, what they want to go back is to the handouts from the United Nations and the European Union of money, so they can dispose of that money and to arm themselves back again with missiles and other weapons and start building tunnels again. And funnily enough, the only person in the world who has made a proposal of progress, which is completely a dream, if you like, because that's not going to happen and logistically is impossible, is Donald Trump, with the idea of developing that area into a what everybody's been calling the Gaza Riviera. That's the only proposal that is on the table at the moment. The displacement of 2 million people logistically is crazy, but none of the Arab countries have said, okay, we will help with all this, and we will help with the rebuilding to have an economic progress in the area in that particular. So that's shown that the Arab countries are not willing to help. Egypt, Jordan, and the rest of them, they don't want to know about refugees from Gaza. So who else has put a proposal on the table? Nobody. They want to go back to the status quo of Hamas. They are in charge of the region and they need financing and the goodwill of the West handing out money to a terrorist group is what they want to go back to. And that is, in my view, is what is unacceptable. We have to move on from that and to try to find a lasting peace. I know a lot of people keep talking about the two-state solution. I mean, we know that that's not going to happen either because that is not a solution as such. There's many things that have to change, starting with the education of children in Gaza, where they are taught by very early age that their aim in life is to...
it's not an awful lot of education going on at the moment, is there? Because they're being...
But I mean, we know what has been going on before, and as a result of that kind of education, we had October the 7th. But not only that, I mean, this has been, it's been constant. It's been a constant sending of missiles for years and years. I mean, when I was in Israel, one morning I woke up only to learn that a few missiles have landed in Tel Aviv where I was staying. Mm. People have learned to live with that. I was in the Lebanon border as well, and you can see the missile launches from the other side of of the border, and people are living with that fear all the time in inside of Israel. So it's not that everything happened on the October the 7th. That was the end of a constant battering of the Israeli people by terrorist groups. And they're not other things than terrorist groups, both Hezbollah and Hamas. What they do is cause terror. That's why they're called terrorist groups. And they've been recognized as terrorist groups everywhere. I don't know why we're pussyfooting around them, because what they are terrorists.
Looking at some of the WhatsApps already coming in on +34 645 99 67 95. Sorry, guys, it wouldn't become the sort of some sort of paradise. It would become a gas and oil field, says one. And another one coming in here. The ceasefire is dead anyway. Netanyahu never really wanted it. His right wing opposes it, and the IDF has continually violated it. This one in as well from Elizabeth in Brighton. He says, hi there. Re the gauntlet looking hostages. What did the Israelis expect the aid organizations have been to tell anyone who would listen that nowhere near enough aid has been getting into Gaza? Of course, they were... Of course, they were underfed. That coming in from Elizabeth. Good to have you with us as well today. 952-78-4000. Just to bring up to speed, yesterday Hamas announced they were postponing the next scheduled release of hostages, blaming Israel for violating the ceasefire deal. They were expecting the release of three more hostages the weekend just gone in exchange for the freeing of Palestinian prisoners, a routine process that has come into place since the ceasefire came into effect on the 19th of January. Israel responded quickly to the announcement, with Defense Minister Israel Katz calling it a complete violation of the ceasefire agreement. He's instructed the Israel military to be ready for any possible scenario. In Gaza, crowds gathered last night to demand in Tel Aviv to demand that the remaining Israeli hostages are released, and the UN also weighed in, saying any delays would be an issue. Trump is meeting later on today with Jordan's King Abdullah. He has said before that Trump has said that he can make a deal about the relocating of the population of Gaza to neighbor countries. Jordan's leaders obviously rejected Trump's plan and previous requests for them to take in the Palestinians. But it's been described as a very crucial meeting. The Jordan's former deputy prime minister, Jawad al-Ani, says that Trump's plan isn't implementable. It involves a lot of human pain and also ignores the rights of Palestinians. He thinks he can manipulate Jordan. But he says Jordan has a very good record of human rights. There is also talk that Trump may suspend any aid to the Jordanians, for example, if they don't take his deal. So it seems to be foreign policy, because obviously the US has already put a freeze on all aid for 90 days while Elon Musk gets involved with his DODGE, his, you know, cutting waste from, as they see it, from American institutions and organizations. It seems that they are now using their first, not even a month in, to say, right, well, we're going to stop all aid, we're going to stop doing this, we're going to stop doing that until you play ball. It's quite an aggressive and should we say, proactive foreign policy, Andres?
Look, what is very important in order to achieve lasting peace is what the position of the other Arab countries around the region are going to take. Taking Palestinian refugees to some of these countries, like Egypt, for instance, where they have a stable system, Their fear is that they're going to destabilize the area by accepting refugees, because with the refugees, you don't know if you're going to be getting some terrorists settled into their territory, and the same with Jordan. They don't want that fear, but they are the ones who should be stepping up and being part of the solution of the problem, because at the end of the day, they're the Muslim brothers, and the ones that should, in theory, help the most. But they are the ones who, at the moment, they don't seem to be willing to take part in all of this. With regards to Trump and his ideas, I mean... I'm afraid he thinks he's a great negotiator, and that everyone is going to bow to the fantastic ideas, but not everyone thinks the same way. So it might not be as successful as people think he's going to be in these negotiations. Having said that, he's not doing anything other than what he said he was going to do. And following what he said he was going to do, 70 million people voted in. And he is now the president of the United States with a carte blanche to do what he said he was going to do. And he's doing it. And one of the things he said he was going to clean the administration of wasteful resources from taxpayers' money. If you ask anyone in the world, they said, would you like to review how the taxpayers' money is being paid and cut any waste? I'm guarantee you 95% of the people in the world will say, yes, we would like that. Now, the concept is a good concept. Is the execution of that concept what is creating a problem, if you like, in certain areas, especially in the civil servant administration of the United States, where Elon Musk has gone in like a bull in a china shop, trying to do everything overnight. But the concept of stop wasting money, which is taxpayers' money, is not a concept that I think is something that should be done in every country in the world, certainly in Spain, looking at how we spend the resources of the taxpayers would be something positive. And but every time that someone has suggested something like that, it's come with a lot of criticism, just saying that all they want to do is cut public services, which not necessarily should be done for cutting public services, but to maximising the use of the money of the taxpayers. But anyway, so I've gone from one thing to the other. But as I said, in terms of what Trump wants to do in the Middle East, let's see what he can negotiate. I think he's not going to be that successful with some of the countries there, because they're not willing to help with refugees, which would be the first step. But one thing is true. The situation there is dire. It's unhabitable, the area, and the reconstruction is going to take time and money and a lot of suffering for a lot of people.
9527840000. Bernie Sanders remarked yesterday, over 47,000 Palestinians killed, 111,000 injured. Trump's response: forcefully expel Palestinians to make Gaza, quote, a real estate development for the future, a beautiful piece of land. And Sanders says, no, Gaza must be rebuilt for the Palestinian people, not for billionaire tourists. And they're saying that Trump also said that Palestinians don't have the right to return to their own land. He literally just openly described Gaza as a real estate development. It isn't just offensive, it's dehumanizing. Millions of people have suffered and died, and his takeaway is land development. Imagine losing your home, your family, your history, only to be told your homeland is now just a real estate opportunity. This isn't just Trump being Trump. It's dangerous mentality that reduces entire populations to obstacles instead of people. Andres.
Okay. Very, very well put, Mr. Sanders. Now, what's your proposal? Because this is very, it's very easy to criticise a proposal. I can criticise a proposal. I think it's crazy. And to displace 2 million people is not that easy. To rebuild an area that has no water, electricity, buildings are destroyed and everything, it's a very, you know, big ask, as a football commentator would say. But what is your proposal, Mr. Sanders? What's your proposal? All these people, they're criticising so this thing. OK, you don't like that one. Which one do you like? Mm-hmm. Put it on the table. Have the, you know, bravery. I was going to say something else. Yeah, have the bravery of saying, well, this is what I propose we do. Because no one is proposing anything. The only proposal that's on the table is that we keep feeding money to a terrorist organization so they can rebuild the missiles, and they can rebuild the tunnels, and they can rebuild all of the things that cause terror in the area. Not only for the Israelis, which they're fighting, but for their own people. You know, and their own people who are suffering because these terrorists have got a hold of the money and they do whatever they want with it. So that is that the proposal that we want to have on the table, or do we want something a little bit that creates progress in the area?
95 9527 84000 is the phone number. Some more bits and pieces coming in. This one's saying, I'm a little confused why it's okay to kick Palestinians out of Gaza, but not white Afrikaners from South Africa. Lights blitz, blue touch paper and retires. This one in from Jeffrey saying, there was no genocide in Gaza. The Palestinians were just losing a war they started. Meanwhile, over on the WhatsApps, Donito, otherwise known as the American President Trump, is confident in getting a deal with Jordan and Egypt, which both, he notes, receive billions in US aid. Suggests he's ready to use aid as leverage. Question is whether that will be enough for Sisi and Abdullah. Probably not. The problem is it's gone from perceived wastage. This is a poll. This is talking about the situation in the States with Elon Musk's. I mean, his staff are sleeping over in the offices, you know. Problem is, it's gone from perceived wastage to blatant theft, Elon being the thief in chief. Also, money. Who is paying for this redevelopment? Any other proposal is better than ethnic cleansing, Andres. Meanwhile, more coming in. Glad to have you getting involved in Viewpoint, by the way. Hello, what nonsense your panellist is saying. Not to mention as to why the troubles in Palestine happen. Hamas has also stated they do not wish to be part of the new government. Standard Western bias promoted by pro-Israel media. Trump plan is purely in self-financial interest and is allowing the attacks to increase in the West Bank. Good morning, Giles, says Claudia from Nerja. Why should Jewish people have more right to live than the Palestinians? And who has the right to remove these people from their homeland? I think no one. I think the past speaks for himself. Shame on Trump. That's from Claudia from Nerja. Meanwhile, we welcome in Claudia De La Torre. Good morning, Claudio.
Good morning, Giles. Great to be here.
Good to have you. You just walked into an absolute storm. I'm going to take a quick ad break, and then we'll be back with more on the situation.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively, joined in the studio by Andres Gallardo and Claudio De La Torre, who is wrestling manfully with the soft furnishings here. You're right there, Claudio.
Yeah, I'm about to.
Are you about to fall backwards? Well, listen, you should try being my end, seeing the comments coming in. We are talking, if you want to get your viewpoint across, we're already live and lively. Here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And it's back to the WhatsApps we go. Hi, Giles, your studio. Oh, by the way, we're running a poll on the Facebook page, Talk Radio Official. The poll says the following. Get involved with it if you want to get your viewpoint across. With Hamas stating that it's postponed the release of hostages, do you think the situation in Gaza will deteriorate into violence again? At the moment, it stands 100% yes. So I think there's no grey area there at the moment. So looking at some of the WhatsApps coming in. Hi, Giles, your studio guest. That'll be you then, Andres.
is spewing misinformation. He stated that Jordan wasn't prepared to take refugees. Total nonsense. He needs to fact-check what he's saying. They simply don't want to be complicit in Trump's attempt at ethnic cleansing. This from the UNHCR Global Focus. Jordan is one of the world's largest refugee hosting countries. Some 620,000 women, men and children from Syria are registered as refugees, in addition to nearly 70,000 refugees from other nationalities, of whom the Iraqis are the largest group. This is from Dr. Eli David, saying Arab countries took in 5.5 million Syrian refugees. Ask yourselves, why isn't any Arab country willing to take even one Palestinian refugee? Their quote's not mine. Why has Egypt spent billions of dollars building a seven-layer wall with Gaza? What do you think the Arab states know about the Palestinians? 952-784-1000. This was, well, neighbours from hell. Women and children should leave first, inshallah. That's from Steve in Bristol. Your thoughts on that as well? Somebody saying, don't forget the big lie that Gaza was an open-air prison. Gaza had its beauty and could have been a paradise. Hamas destroyed it. It is certainly, as all these, as these do, it is certainly splitting people down the middle. But of course, the on both sides, the problem, the people going to suffer from this are those in Gaza. I mean, trying to get back to Gaza if they've been fleeing various areas, and the hostages. I mean, there was a announced this morning as well the death of one of the hostages. It was supposed to be, it was 74 hostages held. It's now 73. They had the body. Of one of the hostages, who was 86-year-old Shlomo Mansour. He was killed on the 7th, but the Hamas had kept his body, and I think they still have his body. So the irony of that is he had survived the massacre, the Farid massacre in Baghdad in 41. So very, very sad indeed. Very sad indeed. Have you got any thoughts on this one, Claudia? Do you want to weigh into, you know, as somebody who's involved in real estate occasionally, or, you know, seeing what's going on? I mean, what were your original thoughts when you heard Donald Trump saying he was going to make, it was a real estate development. America was going to take it over. Now, you know, and then the world's people were going to live in that. Do you think he's serious, or do you think this is just his way of, you know, which is his modus operandi of stirring everybody up and then cutting a deal from there?
You always have to take Trump with a pinch of salt, because he's what he says and what he means is usually very opposing, and he likes to be the center of attention. So he often will say things to catch a headline and to be talked about. But what I do agree is that Gaza is a complete wasteland now. It's full of rubble. It's full of mines, bombs, tunnels, you name it. So it's completely unhabitable at the moment. So they do have to come up with some solution. They do have to clear it up. They do have to reconstruct it, because it's impossible to live there at the moment. So I do think they need to make an effort to clear that area up, build new houses, new infrastructure. And meanwhile, the Palestinians will have to go somewhere, whether it's Egypt, I don't know where, but somewhere they'll have to go. So that is the reality. It's not a place where anyone would want to live at the moment. So because we have to not forget that the Gaza was not always under the control of Hamas. It was in the control of Israel, and then in the early 2000s, it went back to they did one single election that Hamas won, and they took over the power of the Strip. So let's say it's not the most democratic place in the world either. But some solution does need to be reached, because if not, what are they just going to do? Leave people there living in absolute poverty and in rubble and full of bombs. So I do agree. I'm not sure which is the correct way to proceed with Gaza, but I do think they will have to plan for the future, and they will have to see who takes control of it. because someone will have to govern Gaza. It's not going to be in no man's land. Someone will have to govern it, whether it's Hamas, Israel, the states, who knows. But it will be interesting to see what will happen.
The problem is the, you know, I've had conversations with people about this, saying, well, Netanyahu basically just wants a constant state of war, because as long as Israel has a situation in Gaza, he's unlikely to be, you know, brought before a tribunal and face the crimes. Yeah, it's crimes. Just, I mean, he's got the ICC who have put out, you know, an arrest for a warrant for his arrest. Obviously, the Americans don't comply with that, because obviously Netanyahu was standing quite surprised, looking quite surprised and delighted when Trump unveiled this plan for Gaza Del Mar. It's to the lines we go, though. First phone call of the morning. I go, morning caller. You're live on Viewpoint. Live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Giles. It's Jason. How are you doing?
Morning, Jason. How are you, my friend?
I'm all right. I'm in the Swiss Alps. I'm doing my own version of skiing, which is called sledging. I thought it'd be safer than skiing, but it's not safer.
Right, OK. Fair enough. Well, OK. Well, that's good. Good to hear that you're out there on the piece.
Listen, if you ever go skiing, people, do not buy cheap goggles from the Chino, because with a visibility of 4 metres, you can easily end up on the black ski slope on your sledge.
Right.
So don't do it. Right.
Thanks for that. Well,
that's a great tip. I'll remember that.
I was wondering where the first phone call was going to go this morning, Jason, as we're discussing Gaza. And I didn't think ski wear was or precautions. But hey, we're a broad church here. Now, what can we do for you this morning, my downhill friend?
Well, the point is, it's a world away. You know, all problems melt away when you step back. And it's perpetual fear and wars everywhere, perpetuated by governments. There's little can you still? Are you still there, Giles?
I'm still here. We're still.
Yeah, there's a little incentive by governments to solve things by peaceful way and always by the bullet. And this is how the world is. And it depends who your friends are. You know, if you're on the right side or the wrong side, it's all a bit George Orwellian, isn't it? So. We just bombarded with all this this nonsense and viruses and everything else. But what really happens in the background is just more and more control, isn't it? You know, it's people are more malleable when they're bombarded by this. There's little incentive to resolve these problems. Politics, short term politics. The main goal of politicians is to stay in power, get re-elected. So they spend years doing policies, and then the next lot come in and change them all. And this is evident with the climate. Difficult decisions are not popular. They don't get votes, do they? So we live in a short-term politic situation, and the only real change is more and more control globally over a populace. That's a real agenda, I think, in the world. It's really sad where we've ended up. I mean, nobody really speaks about the war, Russia and Ukraine anymore. That seems to have got into the background, doesn't it? You know, people become desensitized in the end, and it's really tragic that people do. But maybe that's the idea. You know, people then more malleable to more control when people are afraid of things.
Well, if you desensitize people and you say, oh, well, they, you know, it's for their own good, they must be moved on, and, you know, we're going to develop this piece of the earth, then, you know, you're objectifying, you know, it's one of the first things you do, isn't it? You dehumanize people, and then they are just seen not as human beings, but as objections or obstacles to be brushed over, to be crushed underfoot. I mean, we have seen this before, Jason.
But the Palestinians, there was some kind of accord. Mr. Ritson knows more about this, done many years ago, and I think the United Nations were involved, and Israel was supposed to allow them to live in peace. Israel has broken the rules, and the problem is Israel is part of NATO, a nuclear power, got big friends, so of course. They can do what they want. You know, it's not genocide when Israel do it. It's more ethical, isn't it? It depends who you are in this world and who you know. that defines which side of history you're on, because then you're on the narrative, you're on the truth, and that's the problem.
Jason, could you describe that as a giant slalom?
in skiing terms. Jason, once again, thank you for your call in. Be careful on the slopes there as well. Somebody said, why are you there? Is it the Nazi gold? Why are you in the country with the Nazi gold, Jason?
I found that last month.
You want to have a word?
I'd just like to add, Jason, that Israel is not a member of NATO. However, it's a non-NATO ally, but it's not part of NATO.
Yeah, he's splitting words in a sense. It's not what you are, it's who you're connected to.
Yeah.
But the problem is, violence is wrong, full stop. I don't condone Hamas either. What I'm really sad that at this point in our evolution, that we can't do better than this. This is what makes me sad, because it's almost like we've lost our humanity and where we've come from. This is what makes me sad on a bigger picture.
Jason, as always, thank you for your call in. Be careful on the slopes. 952-78-4000 is the phone number.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And it's to the WhatsApps we go. I met a Lebanese guy in a Spanish jail once. I'll keep this one anonymous. And asked why there had been so much trouble in Beirut. He says, Palestinian refugee troublemakers. Fact. Meanwhile, okay, so Arab countries have not taken Palestinians. Jordan have taken over 2 million Palestinian refugees since 2015. The UNRWA also state there are just over 500,000 in Syria and 252,000 in Lebanon. The UNRWA is the United Nations Relief and Work Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East. It's a UN agency that supports the relief and human development of Palestinian refugees. Meanwhile, this one coming. Are you serious? How come there were brand new vehicles, lots of well-clothed Hamas operatives, and lots of people in the video of the handovers? Gaza was able throughout the bombing to hide the hostages. If Trump to move into moving construction workers, the result Hamas attacks will soon put pays to that. And if he puts boots on the ground, it'll be another Vietnam. Are we thinking, panel, that Trump would seriously commit U.S. troops to his idea of redevelopment? Because he seems to be looking at this as a massive real estate operation rather than a delicate geopolitical situation.
Look, I don't think Trump has got any intention of putting boots on the ground. He doesn't want to mobilize the military in that region because that is opening a can of worms. But with Trump, you never know. It's like a 5-year-old with a loaded gun in a room full of people, so you don't know what's going to happen next. It's a difficult, but I don't think the intention is that. I think the message that he wants to send, although he's not very clever at sending messages in a clear way, he's got limited vocabulary. Trump, he says things that they are completely they have no filter. Like when during COVID said you could inject bleach, or today he said that the paper straws explode when he meant they collapse. There's things like that. It's not a man. He's not an orator by any means. But the message that he wants to send with the situation in Gaza is that Gaza, what it needs is serious a redevelopment and a serious path to a future of progress and wealth, and so people can live there in peace and in prosperity. That's the message that it wants to send. But, you know, I mean, as soon as he starts saying, you know, I'm going to create this, it's going to be a real estate opportunity and this and that, he's the message gets lost. What we need to concentrate is what can we do as in the Western world to make sure that we have a redevelopment that creates prosperity for the people from Gaza? As I said before, you know, I mean, that is the proposal that's on the table. If you don't like that one, put another proposal on and see if it's any better. But let's just give some hope to these people, because there's a lot of innocent people who've been suffering mainly at the hands of Hamas, who've been in charge of that region for 20 years or more. And these are the people who need, you know, a hope for the future.
Going to take a quick break and then back with more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively, joined by Claudia De Torre and Andres Gallardo, if you want to get your viewpoint across.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And Ruth comes in on studio@tre.radio. Israel's response to the awful terrorist attack was completely over the top, killing thousands more people than died in the October attacks, creating a Palestinian state where Jewish settlers were not able to take their land would have been the original solution, but Netanyahu was never going to let that happen. And as you say, he's facing criminal charges. Why should Jordan and Egypt step up? Just because they happen to be Arabs? Israel should rebuild Gaza. Kind regards from Ruth. Ruth, kind regards to you back. Israel's response over the top? I mean, you can argue that the idea of trying to neutralize a terrorist organization by military means is never going to work. It never has done, it never will do, and all it will do is create martyrs, as we saw the same with ETA, we saw the same with the IRA, because there is no such thing as a standing Hamas army, if you like. You can't defeat you can't deal them an overwhelming military victory, because such a thing doesn't exist.
Oof. Terrorism. I mean, you've mentioned ETA, you mentioned the IRA.
Yeah.
Let's say those were very hard years for Northern Ireland, for mainland, and in Spain, we suffered for about 30 years with terrorism. So we know what terrorism can do. The fight against terrorism hasn't always been above the law, or as above the law as it should have been. In Spain, we've got the GAL, which Felipe González was one of the ones who, found that fighting terror with terror with inside the state was an option. The same happened in with the IRA. So fighting terror is very difficult. I mean, you've had the 9/11, which was the catalyst of the invasion of Afghanistan. You know, so the reaction to terror is you can't say you have a measured response to terror, and you cannot measure what you can or cannot do. You have to eliminate it to make sure you move forward and live in peace. I'm all in favor of eliminating any kind of terror.
This thing from Georgia says, how can world peace prevail when the most powerful man, Trump, is a criminal who supports another criminal, Netanyahu, to carve up the property neither have the right to nor dream of? Let him go to jail. Thank you, George. Sam comes in with...
no different to what happens in Spain. We're being ruled by a guy that is in Brussels escaping Spanish justice. So,
And Sam comes in with the simple quote saying, I'm desensitized. There's not a lot you can say to that one, is there? 952-78-4000 is the phone number if you want to get involved. Looking at my poll again, the poll of polls this morning on Talk Radio Europe, just to see where we are in terms of answering the... I put to the poll on this morning that says, do you think that... the situation in Gaza will deteriorate into violence again. We're still at 100% here, so not a lot of grey area in that one. You've got yes, no, or not sure options. Go to Talk Radio Europe Official, and you will be able to cast your votes on that one. Be good to hear from you as we come up to the national and international news at the top of the hour, just seeing what a few more bits and pieces have to say. George is typing something in as we speak, but I'm not sure we're going to get time to read it out because we're going to London for the international news. Somebody just put fact laugh out loud up. Thank you very much for that. Going to London for the international news, and then up to Bob on the Costa Blanca for the national news. And then we're back for the second half of a live and lively viewpoint. National international news up next, and then back for the second half. Look forward to hearing your viewpoints in the next hour or so.
Talk Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
And welcome back, second half of Viewpoint. Always live, always lively. With you for the next 56 minutes or so. If you want to get your viewpoint across, this is the number.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Giles Brown here, live from the studio, joined by Andres Gallardo and Claudio De La Torre. Looking at the poll today, which is on the official Facebook page, which is Talk Radio Europe Official, asking the question, with Hamas stating it's postponed the release of hostages, do you think the situation in Gaza will deteriorate into violence? You've got yes, no, or not sure options. As it stands at the moment, it's pretty conclusive. We're at 100% of people thinking that the situation in Gaza will deteriorate into violence again. If you want to get your viewpoint across this morning, what we're talking about this morning, or anything else that is crossing your radar, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And going to the WhatsApps this morning. This is George. May I also add that Israel and the world Zionists are terrorists who terrorize the whole region with the help of their American slaves. Thank you for that one. Meanwhile, another one in on the WhatsApps. Puigdemont is a criminal in exile. Donito, otherwise known as Donald Trump, and Netanyahu are criminals in plain sight. That's what's coming in on the WhatsApps. By the way, letting you know what's happening later on. Following me is Stephen Ritson, as always, with Europe Today.
He also has a particular take as well on the discussions of Viewpoint. Looking forward to those. Well, meanwhile, Selena is with us with TRE in the afternoon. She's chatting to Wendy Moore, who is talking about Vera Holm, who was known as Jack, left her career as a jobbing actress to become Amelia Pankhurst's chauffeur and mechanic. Alina Haverfeld was a classic beauty, the daughter of a baron and 14 years older than Jack. They met in 2008. Fell in love, lived together, and became the public face of the suffragette movement, enduring prison and doing everything they could for the cause. That's Jack and Eve, two women in love. Two women in love and at war. That's Selena's first guest. Her second guest will be Layla Taylor. Whether it's a decrepit Victorian mansion, a modernist luxury high-rise, a little cottage in the woods, or a starter house in the suburbs, Sick Houses explores how the horror genre in film, television, and literature uses architecture and the ideology of the home against us. That's in Selena's show, Hannah with TR in the afternoon. After the Spanish roundup, that's from 4 o'clock, after the Spanish roundup, she's talking about Taylor Made, the iconic looks of Taylor Swift. That's with Alison James, and also Emily Calici, Wages for Housework, the story of a movement, an idea, and a promise. That is looking at what would women do with their lives if they had more time. This is the untold story of a revolutionary campaign to change the way work is viewed. This is a network of feminists in the 70s looking at wages for housework, promoting a provocative idea and an unfulfilled promise. And historian Emily Calici tells the story of this campaign by exploring the lives and idea of its key creators. That's in Hannah's show. And then Howard Brereton will join us with Spain Today before we go to the BBC and documentaries through the day. That's all coming up on Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And with the surprising news that a new health minister in the Labour government identifies that human beings can identify as llamas, should they so wish. Mike from Chichester, good morning to you, has come in with the following. Never will playing animal snap be the same again. Gorilla and whale? Nope. Snake and dog? Nope. Human being and llama? Snap. Thank you very much for the Oracle of Chichester there weighing in with his particular thoughts on the matter. If you've got a thought about human beings identifying as llamas or anything else along those lines, please get involved. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. And it's to the lines we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hiya, Giles. It's Alf.
Morning, Alf. How are you doing?
Hiya. Hiya, Andreas. Hiya. Nice to hear you back in the studio.
Yeah, he would be back in the studio, but he's just popped out for a second.
He's popped out for a cigarette, I suppose.
Or something. Well, I wouldn't think about that, but anyway. But yes, indeed. So, what can we do for you on this fine morning?
Long time no here. Oh.
What can we do this morning for you this morning?
So, three things, just observations more than anything, because unfortunately with this Middle East stuff, as I've said every time, this is really a no solution subject. So I don't know, there's got to be a solution somewhere, which is the rest of the world imposes separation and peace, but the rest of the world really ain't going to do that because they haven't got the power to do it. So this is going to be an ongoing, and I'm surprised that I haven't heard Gil getting involved in any of these conversations since they did it. So interesting that it's moved on to a different set of conversations. Hamas, when they're doing this stuff with the hostages that they're releasing and making a big show of it and all of that, they're simply showing that they're still a threat. And as much as Israel and the IDF have put that much effort, you know, destroying the area, I mean, they could raise it to the ground, but they'd still have the tunnels to deal with. So they've done all of that, and they still haven't. So the idea that Trump says, if you don't release the rest of the hostages by, he's now said 12 o'clock, so he's changed it from midday to 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock because we call that midday, or some stupid words he used. So he says, if you don't do it, we're going to, you know, all hell lets loose and whatever. And you go, yeah, but you ain't never, ever going to put boots on the ground anywhere near the Middle East. Firstly, remember his personal position has been all through his presidency, and give him his due. He never started a conflict. He never promoted conflict. He never wound it up. He's always been about, let's do a deal, let's sort it out, let's calm things down. You know, however he's achieved any of it, or whether he did achieve anything, is irrelevant. He's not the type of person who really is going to sign one of his special things to say, I'm now sending 50,000 American troops into Gaza to sort it out, because that's never going to happen. So that's the first bit. But the second bit from that is, should he dare ever, well, one, he's got to do it with the rest of America agreeing, but should he dare ever, it's not Vietnam again. It would be much worse than Vietnam. Much, much worse than Vietnam.
When he says it's going to release all hell, I mean, if you're sitting in the rubble of Gaza, you're going to think, bring it on, aren't you? Because, I mean, it's not exactly an urban utopia at the moment, is it?
Well, the only thing, as I understand it, you know, I'm an innocent in all of this, I just see the devastation on the television, but the only thing that they haven't said they've been using are these bombs that drill into the ground. You know what they used in Afghanistan on the caves and stuff like that? They haven't used that in Gaza, so, which is why the tunnels have still survived, because the bomb damage doesn't go far enough. It's like they're like keeping, aren't
they? Keeping the hostages in there, that's why.
No, yeah. Well, they might, whatever the reason is, they haven't gone to that. So if you get to the point where you believe, let's assume somebody will get to the point where they'll believe there are no hostages alive. Technically, all the Israelis are doing are recovering their bodies of their people so that they can deal with them. Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I hope that many of them are still alive, but it's going to be a mass of them who are dead, and they're just recovering bodies. But at some stage, if he goes in and put troops out there, all hell breaks loose. The only thing they can do is bomb, I nearly swore then, bomb that place to hell using these deep-level bombs that get to the tunnels and kill the tunnels. The third thing that we've forgotten is, they keep talking about, we're going to get this out of the way, and then we're going to create a two-state solution. Even Starmer and the Labour Party and everybody's saying we're going to create this two-state solution to it all, which is why I agree with what Gil said many, many months ago. You know, there is no evidence, there is no proof, there is no understanding that a two-state solution would even work. And the issue with a two-state solution is that it can only work when both the parties agree, and also the onlookers. So it's not just between Hamas and Israel. You know, if the Palestinians are saying Hamas is separate from us, which they do say, then it's Hamas and Israel. Then you've got the Palestinians themselves. Then you've got all of the Arab world sitting there on the outside going, well, we're going to have a say in what's going on. And then you're going to have the Western world, the European Union. And so the solution to the Middle East isn't just, we'll make it two separate states, and each one of them does it. And remember, I don't know how many times, this is why I love Gil doing it, because he so understands the history. How many times has there been arrangements made where the Palestinians should live in peace in their own bit of the land, and the Israelis live in peace in their own bit of the land, and then the Israelis, because the Palestinians sold them the land, then move into these areas inside the West Bank and build their own towns and villages, and, well, kibbutz as they call them. You know, it's never happened. So the only way, seriously, that I can think of, and quite rightly, Andreas says, well, what's your solution? And I think the only solution that I can see, really, is imposed peace arrangement where it's monitored by the world and agreed by the world. You're not, a few odd countries, not the West versus the East, none of that rubbish. It's got to be agreed by the world that there will be imposed peace. But it'll still be, you know, there was sort of imposed peace with the IRA and with ETA. But you still have people who want to carry on, don't you?
Got some more calls coming in. Alf, so please call back a little bit later.
Nice. Okay. Nice talking to you.
Thanks, man. Morning, calling live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello. Hello, Charles. Felix.
Oh, Felix, how are you? Good to hear from you.
I'm pretty good. I just want to make two very quick points. First of all, when Al says there that the Palestinians sold the land to the Jews, yes, the Jews did buy land. That's true. They paid top dollar for it because the Arabs wanted to sell them the land. But it wasn't the Arabs who sold them the land. This is a very important point. I'll go over that again. It wasn't the Palestinians who sold in the land. This is the critical point.
Right, so it was the Ottomans who sold them the land?
No, it was the Arabs. The Arabs. There was a landlord class there, and the Jews came, and they bought land, paying top dollar for it. It was a fair transaction. They weren't driven off the land or anything. The Jews came across, and they bought the land at inflated prices. Now, the point I'm making, and I tried to make it a few weeks ago, thanks to Gary, by the way, who stood up for me at that time, the Palestinians came about when a man called Haji Amin al-Husseini preached anti-hatred or anti-Jewish hatred. He went on to become a leading operator in the Holocaust of the Jews living in Berlin. He moved to Berlin. And that's the first point. The second point, really, that I'd like to make is that the issue of October 7, which has changed the feelings and the opinions of all Jews, I can say all Jews in Israel, as to the viability of living with Arabs completely. And there will be no comeback from that. That's my opinion. There will be no comeback from that. This October 7 has been much lied about by anti-Semites, especially in the left. And you find them on this website, radio station as well, coming in and out. But October the 7th changed the situation completely. Now, a lot of the people who are talking here have not seen a film, have not viewed a film of October 7th. Now, it's only now that the Jews are beginning to put together the events of that day in a film. There is one film just out about 2 weeks ago now, and it's very hard to find because a lot of Jews don't want this published because of religious factors, especially the relatives. Now, if I was to go through that, there's a shorter video. If I was going to go through that video step by step, second by second, a lot of people here would be quite taken aback.
Yeah, okay.
That's all I want to say. They haven't seen the video. They haven't seen what happened on October 7th. They're blowing their mouths off in an anti-Semitic direction without understanding what actually happened on October 7th. Thanks, Charles.
Thank you very much for calling, Felix. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling? Thank you for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
It's Gil from Calpe.
Morning, Gil.
Alf was asking why I'm not calling. Well, anyway, I'm calling now. A few things I wanted to say. This suggestion by Trump is quite important, despite the fact that it's not very practical. Nobody's going to take the Palestinians in. I mean, there's a lot of history of the Palestinians trying to topple regimes in Jordan, 1970, the Lebanese Civil War, somebody mentioned. They were thrown out of Kuwait when they supported Saddam Hussein in Syria. Assad killed most of them. Nobody wants more Muslim fanatics who are going to join the Muslim Brothers, even if Trump threatens to cut all supplies. They will not accept them. So, yes, his suggestion is not very practical, but it's important because it is the first time that somebody agreed to forget this two-state, Palestinian state, whatever solution. You know, the Palestinian issue is basically dead, okay? And I think that is a change in policy and a change in outlook. Another thing I wanted to mention, people are forgetting that this conflict is spreading to the West Bank, okay? We don't hear too much about it nowadays in the news, but, you know, it has started to spread. And the biggest fear that Israel has is that another October 7th will happen in the West Bank, and that could be much more deadly. I mean, Gaza's a small area. You can close it up with a wall. The West Bank is closed up with a wall, but it's a much larger area, and it's much closer to the centers of Israel. And I believe that the conflict will spread even more to the West Bank, as many people in the West Bank now support Hamas. Now, the difference between the West Bank and Gaza is also that if a similar thing happens in the West Bank and Israel starts bombing them and destroying everything, they have a place to escape, okay? It's not like with Gaza and Egypt. There's nowhere to go. I mean, the Egyptians are controlling their border, you know, very, very tightly. But if Gaza gets bombed, you know, there'll be a wave of refugees into Jordan. And King Abdullah knows it, and I think that's why he's today in Washington, if I'm not mistaken. He's very, very afraid of refugees, and there's nothing that Jordanians could do. I mean, the Egyptians might start a war with Israel if Israel starts flooding them with the refugees, but the Jordanians are not in a position to do so. I mean, their economy depends on Israel. All their water comes from Israel. For Gaza, the only solution is, and by the way, I agree with the 100% of people that say that it's going to get worse. Yeah, that's quite obvious. Nobody expected this deal to last too long. The only solution is to, you know, stop the supply of food, stop the supply of water, which, by the way, is not against international law. And, you know, until they, you know, they start dying there in numbers, and then Hamas might release the hostages.
Thank you for your call in there, Gil. As always, Claudia, you're putting your hand in the air, or is this you just having that?
Scratch.
Yeah, Andres, any thoughts on what we've heard thus far?
I've got so many thoughts on everything.
Right, okay.
It is true what Gil was saying, that spilling the problem to the West Bank, it's a different kind of problem for the whole area. The other thing that is clear now, certainly to me, is that this magical solution of the two-state solution is not viable. And there are many reasons why it's not viable. And the proof of it is that it hasn't happened for the last 70 years.
What's your reaction to the Trump statement that, okay, fine, well, places that can take them will be the countries that have recognized Palestine, i.e. Norway, Ireland, and Spain? I mean, do you think that raised a wry eyebrow? Because obviously Spain has more than a few problems at the moment, you would think, with its own migration situation.
Yeah, one of the things that Spain, as you all know, recognised Palestine as a state. Yep. They did through Parliament. That was passed. That has no legal consequences. It's just a statement from Parliament. So, but nevertheless, Israel wasn't happy about that. And now the Israeli foreign minister has sent a message saying, now, so if you recognise the Palestinian state, you'll be willing to take some Palestinian refugees. That had a reply from the minister in Spain saying, you have to respect that the Palestinians should be in Gaza and you cannot throw them out. So basically saying, no, we don't want them here. Although it was nice for them to sort of recognize a state that doesn't exist. It's just a ridiculous banter, and I think Israel are not particularly worried about the position of Spain in this conflict, nor of Ireland or Norway, which are other countries who followed the Spanish recognition of the Palestinian state. But in any case, as I was saying, the two-state solution is not, in my opinion, is not viable. Geographically, it doesn't work. And then there is one thing that is critical and crucial to this. If one of the states' founding terms is the extermination of the other state or the neighbouring state, that's never going to work. So that's what would happen if there was ever a two-state solution.
This coming in, Gill thinks that cutting the water supply is not illegal. Sure, it's worse. It's an act of war and genocide. Can I take a quick break?
Can I just say that, I mean, the use of genocide constant by the media and some of the people, they shouldn't really. I mean, just
anniversary of the liberation of the capital.
Exactly. And let's not forget that in Israel, you've got 20% of the population are Palestinian Arabs who live there. Don't forget that in Israel, 19% of the population of universities are Arabs. Let's stop talking about genocide, because it's the wrong term for it. Here what we have is a war against a terrorist group who are terrorizing their own people, and they're terrorizing the neighbors, and that war is being created by them, that's what we have to. These are facts. This is not just vision I have or whatever. This is just the facts. You know, we have a terror group creating terror, and there is a fight against this terror group, who are, as I said here before, they're a bunch of cowards, which they hide behind the civilian population. So no one is talking about that. All they're saying is talking about genocide, which is not genocide. As I explained, inside Israel, you've got many citizens who are Arabs, and they live there without any hindrance.
9527840000. Let's take a short break, and then we come back to the viewpoint. We're going to move away from Gaza. I want to look at the populism in Spain on the back of the weekend's events, which saw a gathering of populist stroke right-wing politicians. That's coming up after this.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Okay, I just because there are, we're getting the thing about genocide here. Where does Israel's actions intend not meet the criteria? Genocide refers to certain acts committed with the intent to destroy in whole or part a national, ethnic, racial or religious group. You could argue the bombing campaigns that the United States American Air Force and the RAF ran in Germany, in that case in 45, Dresden, etc., is an act of genocide if we're going to go down that path. One says, just says, "Dear Giles, your caller," indeed. And the other one says, "Where does Israel?" That's talking about genocide and alternative facts. If there are direct killings of Palestinians, indirect ones, starvation of people, deliberate destruction of civilian infrastructure, destruction of cultural and religious sites, incomunicado detentions, torture and attacks on healthcare, then what else is it? For FF's sake. Whoops. Right then, let's move away from, because we've done an hour and over an hour and a half on that particular situation. I want to talk about what's been happening in Madrid and this whole meeting. A meeting of minds in Madrid with Orban was over some of the leading lights of the more extreme of the right were gathered under the paternal umbrella of Santiago Abascal and Vox for basically what was the point of it? Was it sort of we're all in this together against the migrants, Claudio? What's your take on this one?
Well, it's an interesting. As everyone knows, at the European Parliament, there's several different groups. There's the European People's Party, there's the European Socialists. Well, now there's a new group, which is Patriots, which it's not that new, but it's been rebranded, and it now includes Abascal, Le Pen, and Orban. So they have their kind of caucus in the European Parliament. And, of course, they have to differentiate themselves from the traditional right, because, as I've always said, they defend different things, so they'll always have their voters. I think, it's stupid for the traditional right to try and compete against them, because the people who vote for them, they have they're disillusioned with the traditional right, as there are the people who are disillusioned with the traditional left and who vote for different, for, let's say, newer parties. Well, new in Spain, relatively new. Marine Le Pen's party is very old, so it's not we talk about this as a new phenomenon, but it's not, basically, because Orban's party has been around for 30 years. Marine Le Pen has been around for another 30 years, so it's just now they're more, they have more votes.
They're more emboldened, aren't they?
And they're more relevant than they were before. But it's not a new phenomenon at all.
Because you would always see in Madrid at certain points of the year, the anniversary of of his passing or his birth or whatever, there would seem to be these well-heeled grannies of a certain area in Madrid would come out or they used to go to the Valley of the Fallen, for example, and meet there. One of the things is bring up to speed, so if you're not sure what happened, it was a meeting hosted by Vox, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, French party leader Marine Le Pen, Italy's Deputy Prime Minister Matteo Salvini, and the Netherlands PVV founder Geert Wilders were all in attendance. They said they wanted to quote-unquote make Europe great again. Can't think where they got that from. 2,000 supporters waved Spanish flags and speeches were made. References to a And here we go. Reconquista were frequently made, and Donald Trump's threats, the high tariffs on the EU, were downplayed, with German and Spanish leaders claiming EU taxes are a larger threat to economies. Make Europe great again. Reconquista. I mean, this is anti-Muslim, anti-Islamic rhetoric, isn't it? Surely, you one would think.
Well, I think it's just a bit of everything.
Anti everything. That's the anarchist manifesto. We were going to have we can't be Watson Gogia.
Because I think there's just a big discontent with how Europe is going, with the falling standard of living. In a lot of areas in Europe, there is tensions with certain migrant communities. There are tensions with lack of housing. So, of course, these new parties have taken advantage of the situation and the discontent to grow. And why have why has Geert Wilders grown in the Netherlands? Why has Marine Le Pen grown in France? One just has to see the discontent with Macron. Macron has 80% disapproval. He has the highest disapproval of any French president in the Fifth Republic. In the Netherlands, also high discontent. Many people from working class neighborhoods who would have never voted, for example, for Geert Wilders, now have voted for him simply because they feel that they've been unlistened to. And I think it's a big mistake to ignore people's concerns with illegal immigration. and call people who are concerned with criminality racist or fascist, because it's not the case. A lot of the times it's just working class people who feel that their neighborhoods have changed a lot and they feel less safe than they did before. And I think that's a complete legitimate feeling. We shouldn't be kind of attacking those people for having those thoughts, because I know, for example, Dutch people, some Dutch girls who... progressive, they're not right at all, and they said that they didn't vote for Gilders, but they said they have no choice but to agree on certain things, that their areas aren't safe anymore, and that they don't, as women, they don't feel safe walking around at night. So I respect their opinion on that, because that's what they feel. They feel that they're not so I think that the traditional parties have made, I always repeat the same, they have made huge mistakes all around Europe. Both the traditional left and right have let a lot of things go to the extremes, because they have failed their people. So as they fail their people with many things, with many aspects, whether it be high taxation, immigration, lack of housing, inflation... people feel so that the green policies have gone too far. They feel, why should I be penalized with my for driving my 15-year-old diesel? I can't afford a electric car, or I don't want an electric car, but why should I have to pay more taxes, or why should we have to sacrifice certain things when they see politicians going to Davos all on their private jets, and their politicians talking about ecology with their gas-guzzling Audi A8s. So that there's so much hypocrisy.
Other cars are available.
But. Exactly. So I just think people are just upset with the system, rightly so, and they've given opportunity to these parties to grow because they haven't listened to people. I always think Brexit was a big wake-up call, and Trump back in 2016, and you would have thought that the traditional parties would have made changes or would have listened and said, well, hang on a minute, that something's not working, we need to change, people are not happy, people are angry, these are protest votes, and what are we going to do to change the situation? But I just feel they haven't done anything, and here's the result.
And it's the lines we go. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name, where are you calling from, point please?
Hi, Giles. It's Jeff.
Hi, Jason, from Switzerland. I'm sorry we've interrupted your tobogganing practice, but what can we do for you?
Well, you touched on it. You know, all this woke kind of thinking, people identifying as this, that, and the other. After 3.5 million years of evolution, if the pinnacle of us is somebody identifying as a cabbage, right, it's not very good. And if you did go to work identifying as a cabbage, it doesn't mean you are. And I don't have a problem with all this per se, but there is a danger, well, two dangers with this modern way of thinking about gender fluidity. One, eventually when it becomes a norm, a social construct, there's a danger indirectly of conditioning young people or indoctrinating them into this new way of thinking. So if somebody was going to be heterosexual, normal, as in the past, maybe they're encouraged to be something different, and this is dangerous. But the real danger with this way of thinking is it's nonsense.
Right.
It's what I call a twisted morality.
Right.
Because on one hand, people get offended about things like this, but on the other hand, right, don't give two hoots about soldiers or civilians dying. You know, people turn a blind eye and don't care about it. So
yeah.
Really what it says is that as a species, right, we've lost our way. We forgot where we came from. We don't know where we're going.
Jason, okay, Jason, we're kind of trying to get towards Spanish politics at the moment, and I appreciate you're passionate about that. Yes, and Liz Truss will be on saying that she would never identify as a cabbage. It was forced upon
just
her.
Just one thing.
Go on.
Elon Musk wants to spend $66 trillion colonizing Mars.
Right.
What would have been better was to take better care of this planet we're on with 66 trillion.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? This is how insane the world is now. Do you understand?
Got indeed. Right, okay. Thank you. Back to slips. Bye-bye. So there you go. Yes, right then. So where were we? Wilders won but has no power. Much like Le Pen and Farage, largely irrelevant. I know the feeling. Claudia forgets the electorate aren't very bright. You can't take too much notice about them. Indeed. 952784000. What's your take on this whole populist love?
I have to agree that it's a movement that is growing in popularity. It's focused. Everything is focused on immigration, and that includes all of the people who were in this meeting in Madrid over the weekend, and also Farage in the UK. What I don't see from this party is it's a lot of detail on the rest of the policies. They seem to be riding on the immigration. It's a typical populist sort of message, you know. All of the problems come from here. We solve this problem, and basically we are prosperous again. And that's not the truth. There's very complex things that they need to be sorted out, and that happens with all of them. They seem to, if they eradicate the immigration, they will solve all the problems. And first, you have to eradicate immigration, which is a difficult task in itself. And then you have to look at other things that got nothing to do with immigration. And I don't see a lot of the detail on the other things from these parties. On the basis of that, I think that they will carry on in growing in popularity for a time until they run out of steam. And that will happen as soon as they touch power. Because at the moment, they've got very little power, certainly in Spain, very, very little. They had a little bit in some regional governments, but they've moved away from that. Le Pen has failed to take over. The only one this exercise in government is Meloni. Of course, Orban, but Meloni. But look at Meloni's position. She has moved away from that group in the European Parliament, and she now in Italy is displaying not only popularity but a more moderate, traditional conservative type of government. She's tried all these anti-immigration policies. Less successful than at the beginning they were hailed to be. Basically, she is managing with a traditional conservative type of government. And also, she's moved away from this group of more radicals. But as soon, apart from Orban, as soon as they touch power, I think they're all going to follow the Meloni model as opposed to the more radical sort of models.
952784000, Claudio.
Because it's interesting to see the word radical or far right, it depends who you talk to. For some people, what's radical, for others is absolute libertarian, and for others, what's extreme left, others see it as just mild socialism. So it depends who you talk to. Everyone has their different views and their different. So, yeah, I do find it very interesting because I know some people who find Meloni just a fascist kind of Mussolini lover, and others see her well as she's going towards a traditional right. I agree with Andres that Meloni is going towards a more traditional kind of conservative. But then again, that's where she came from. That's her origins. Let's not forget she was a minister with Berlusconi, and Berlusconi is the one who was her kind of political godfather. So we could say that that Meloni, she's kind of gone back to her origins and where she came from in a centre-right government as a minister. And also she's very pro-Trump because she wants to be a kind of link between Trump and the European Union. she is a success story, but even in the European, her candidate that's second vice president of the European Union, even the socialists voted for him, and Sanchez went from calling her a fascist to giving her a condecoration and a medal of Isabel la Segunda. So just to give you an example how things...
Same Starmer. Starmer was very critical of Meloni, but then he went to Italy and then started, you know, admiring the anti-immigration policies and everything else. And you think, oh my God, what's happening here? But I think in the case of Vox, for instance, which is the one that touches us more directly, I get the feeling they don't even want to touch power. Because the mandate that they sent to the PP party to say you cannot have any kind of voting agreements with the Social Democrats in Europe, which, as just to remind you, the big agreement there is the Conservatives, the Liberals, and the Social Democrats. They seemed to sort of move all the legislation forward and everything else. But Vox has said, unless you break that, we're not going to support you in the event of needing to have a coalition to govern here in Spain. So it's almost as they shy away from power because their strength is being a fringe
opposition
protest party, because they have no... no policy to follow through if they manage to get to power. That's the impression I get. Probably, you know, I might be wrong. But
they had opportunities.
And they've had opportunities and they pulled
left
out.
Voluntarily. Yeah. They weren't expelled. They had the vice presidency and several...
Regional governments.
Yeah. and with several consejerias with influence and controlling public funds, but they decided to pull out because, of course, when something goes wrong, for example, the Dana in Valencia, they would have taken part of the blame if they were in the government. But
they seem to want to be away from power, so there's no mistakes made, exactly. And they cannot be criticized for anything, and the problem is being in power, you have to take decisions, and those decisions sometimes will have the support of the people, sometimes they won't have the support of the people, so, you know, it's more difficult to be in power than not.
Indeed. Can I take a short... Sorry, Clive.
Even look in Portugal, for example, the new conservative government... they're there with the support of the far right, but they're not in the government. They kind of support them from the outside, and they're kingmakers. So I have that feeling that that's what Vox want to be. They have no interest of having...
We have a kingmaker in Spain, which is Puigdemont.
Exactly.
And on that bombshell, a quick break, and then we're back to the last 5 minutes of Viewpoint.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
952 78 4000 into the last 5 minutes of this morning's Viewpoint. Morning caller, you're live on TRE. Hang on, I've got a call first. We're live on TRE. Morning caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello.
Hello, you're live on TRE.
Oh, sorry. Very quickly, Felix, sir. The problem is that immigration is a big, big, big issue, as I know from Ireland. Big issue. But people are being driven from parts of the world where they cannot live because of the changing climate. And yet the populace that Claudia has referred to have nothing to say about global warming, nothing at all. So there's a contradiction there.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for that point. Right, sorry, Claudia, you were waving that we were going to say something. No, what were you two?
No, because there's only a few minutes to go, so I thought,
okay, fair enough.
I will just...
Okay, these coming in. Okay. Don't mention Kingmaker, says Gary. Alf will call in. Meanwhile, Puigdemont thinks he's a Kingmaker, but... who knew kingmakers live in exile? Somebody's come in saying, hi, Giles, it's shameful that you have not challenged your caller, Gil, who openly called for the starvation of the Palestinian population of Gaza. Your listeners get the impression that you agree with this genocidal policy. Clarify on air. It's called Viewpoint. You're allowed to make your viewpoints on air. If you have a viewpoint, we would love to hear from you. And rather than just sending me one of those text messages that gets right underneath my scalp, my hair.
Don't.
Frizzes my hair up, I tell you.
Don't worry about it,
I
Giles.
Do worry about it. I have a bag full of kittens that I punch when I finish this, just to get rid of people who write in like that. And I lost it last week as well. Okay, now Alf had to calm me down.
Let me
your ears.
Let me tell you what I found very funny the other day about Trump.
Come on, then.
Is his comment about Prince Harry, where he said he's not going to deport him. The story is he lied in the visa application about drug taking or drug use or whatever, and he said, "No, I'm not going to deport him because he's already got enough problems. He's got a terrible wife." But he's opening a can of worms there, Trump, because everyone is going to go say, "I've got a terrible wife as well. You cannot deport me."
And let's not even go about Melania. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, I'm calling from Malaga. My name is Marcio.
Good morning, Marcio.
Hi. I just wanted to reflect about left and right politics. My main spontaneous thinking is that people are searching something to hold on. Before, we have ideologies or religion. We have something to hold on. And society is changing, and people are searching for something. And this immigration makes everything flexibility don't give security. So people are searching something to hold on, to something to feel safe, the basics. And when you are losing all that, you're searching to the extremes. And that goes around in the history. This is what I wanted to say. I think it sounds common sense.
Marcia, thank you so much for calling in with the sound of bells in the background and bring a bit of common sense, I think, to the viewpoint, after 2 hours of interesting conversation. Good to hear from you, my friend. Always good to hear your voice.
Same. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye indeed. Right then, panel, we're going to be almost out of time. This one has flown by. Any final thoughts, apart from it's good to see you back in the studio, Andres, as well?
Oh, thank you very much. I'm glad that I'm back. I'm sure you have missed me.
I'm sure the listeners are absolutely delighted. Yes, indeed.
Not all of them.
Yes, I'm sure they are. Any pearls of wisdom that you'd like to leave us with on this particular one, Andres, with your thoughts without upsetting 90% of the population?
Now my final thought is, please don't deport me. I've got a terrible wife myself.
And Claudio, confirmed bachelor that you are, Claudio. Any chance? I've got about as much chance of being deported for an awful wife as I have becoming Pope, to be honest with you. But I mean,
I'm just waiting for Melania Trump to come to Viewpoint, and it would be a pleasure to have her here.
That would be a leap onto the unknown and a gazing into the abyss, I suppose, the word you could use that one. But
the question is, can she talk?
She can.
I've never heard her.
No.
Can she? Okay.
She has an accent, but she can talk.
Yes,
well.
Yeah. Well, so have I. is that a problem?
Yeah. And you've heard my Andaluz, so therefore that's enough. Again. Right then, almost out of time. It has once again been my pleasure and my privilege to bring you today's Viewpoint. My thanks to my guests, Andres Gallardo.
Thank you, Giles.
And Claudio Della Torre.
Thank you, Giles, and to all the lovely listeners. Have a great week.
There you go.
Wow.
Claudio has spoken. I'll be back tomorrow with Viewpoint. This show will be repeated at 7 o'clock. And Stephen Ritson is up next. Have a great Tuesday. I'll see you tomorrow.
Expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.